Brethren, the scriptures teach us that the way of love is the ultimate distinguishing characteristic of the God family. The ultimate characteristic for us as Christians. In that light, let's take a look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 20. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. In other words, we are to love the same way Jesus Christ loved. Christ laid down his time, he laid down his energy, he laid down his very life for each and every one of us. He was willing to go through the most terrible suffering for each and every one of us. And we are told that we need to love others as Christ loved us. I want to ask you a question. Do you have somebody in your life who is a very difficult person to be around? I mean, very, very difficult to be around. People you have to deal with in life. You know, sometimes we can sidestep people. We can kind of say, well, I'll love that person at a distance and so on and so forth. But some people are so difficult, and yet you have to deal with them in your life. It could be a boss, could be a coworker, could be a next-door neighbor, could be a family member, could be a church member. What do you do with somebody like that in your life? As I was thinking about this message and putting it together, in the Chicago area where I'm from right now, I came across a couple of very distinctive terms for people like this. One of the descriptors is sandpaper people. Do you have, a little joke there, but that's what, you know, there. When you go online and you put in the search term sandpaper people, you'll find all kind of articles about that. As a matter of fact, Mary Sutherland authored a book entitled Sandpaper People, Dealing with the Ones Who Really Rub You the Wrong Way. And I'm sure we all have those kind of people in our lives, don't we? The promo for her book reads this way. Everybody deals with them, people who rub you the wrong way, often leaving abrasions behind. Mary Sutherland goes beyond just giving good advice on how to handle tough relationships. Using examples from her own painful experiences, a readily applicable format, and a dusting of humor and intriguing sandpaper facts throughout, she frames key principles of relating to rub-you-the-wrong-way types, such as be loving and recognize people's worth. Interesting. Sandpaper people. The phrase is very visual, very descriptive, and very true. People who are abrasive, people who rub us wrong, raw, little by little, day after day, slowly, methodically, annoyingly. We've all got those people in our lives. Now, maybe you find that phrase a little bit more of a pejorative. Maybe you think that's something we shouldn't say, that there are sandpaper people. And so I came across a second term that you might enjoy a little more than sandpaper people, and that is people requiring extra grace. People requiring extra grace. Now, that's a nice theological-sounding descriptor. Same kind of person, the same kind of situation, but what does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? How do you and I deal with these people that just rub us the wrong way? How do we be an example? How do we be a light to those people and those people around us as they watch us deal with those people? Well, I've got a theme statement, and my theme statement is in the form of a question. If you like to take notes, you'll want to jot this question down. The question is this. What is God's counsel for dealing with difficult people in our lives? What is God's counsel for dealing with difficult people in our lives? Now, there's a foundational scripture that I want to turn to. And let's take a look at that over in Colossians chapter 3. And you'll want to put a marker over there in Colossians 3, because the heart and core of the sermon is going to be coming from Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, with the sandpaper people, with the people requiring extra grace, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, you should also do. So here we see sandpaper people being talked about, bearing with one another, and we are told to forgive them. We're told that you might have a real complaint. We're not talking about something that's a figment of our imagination. We're talking about a real, honest complaint. People have hurt us. We are hurting, and yet we're told to be forbearing, we're told to be forgiving, even as Christ forgave us, we must do. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that exactly? In meditating on this, I was considering the context of Colossians chapter 3. I believe there is a formula here for us to look at, a biblical formula, how to deal with sandpaper people, people requiring extra grace. As I was thinking about that and as I was doing my research, I came across a couple of interesting quotes. What I'm about to read to you are other people's thoughts along these lines. From the Bible Knowledge Commentary regarding Colossians 3:13, it says this. And I quote, "Believers are to bear with each other, that is, put up with each other, with the attitudes just mentioned in verse 12. Now, there's going to be something we're going to read in verse 12 that's going to give us a helpful hint as to how we deal with these kinds of people. Now, you think, okay, that's one source. Now, the Bible Knowledge Commentary is a tremendous work. We use it quite a bit in the church, in various articles that we write. It's a very conservative type of a commentary. I refer to it quite often, and so does the church. But notice something that's said also here in the Life Application Commentary. And this is under Colossians 3:13. I quote now from the Life Application Commentary. "It is only in the outworking of people's relationships with one another that compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience are worked out." They're referring to Colossians 3:12, where I believe there is a formula there for us. "The testing ground is when people have grievances," the article says, "against one another. Paul called the believers to bear with and forgive one another. Bear with means putting up with the, quote, extra grace required crowd." That's where I got that descriptor, the extra grace required crowd. So let's take a look at Colossians chapter 3 here and take a look at the context and see what we have. Chapter 3, verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved." We'll pause there for a second. "As the elect of God, holy and beloved." As the elect. The elect is Strong's number 1588. It means we are the chosen of God. It says here, we are holy. Strong's number 40 means set apart. And we are beloved. Strong's number 25. You know, we know the scripture, John 3:16, God so loved the world, right? So what are we talking about here? The elect of God, holy and beloved. Well, let's add one other thing in verse 13. In verse 13, it says, "bearing with one another and forgiving one another." The word forgiving is Strong's number 5483. In the Low and Nida Greek English lexicon, it's described as one's gracious attitude toward another. One's gracious attitude. So, brethren, what we're looking at here in context, as the elect of God, as God's chosen, as the holy, as the one set apart, as people God loves and God has forgiven, we are looking at the grace of God. How do we deal with those people who rub us the wrong way? We deal with them with the grace of God. Now, it's easy for me to articulate that, and as you all know, it's much more difficult because we all have those kind of people in our lives. It's much more difficult to do this. Much more difficult, but we can do it with God's grace. In chapter 3 here, verse 12, again, this is a gold mine of information. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved," it says, "put on." Put on. That means to clothe yourself with. Put on these various things, and then you see a listing of 5 items. If you want to know how to deal with people who are so hard to deal with in your life, you've got 5 items that you put on. Number 1, tender mercies. Number 2, kindness. Number 3, humility. Number 4, meekness. Number 5, long-suffering. That is a biblical formula. And again, this is not easy. We're not talking about easy stuff. We need God's Holy Spirit. We need God's grace to do exactly what this says. But if we do what this says, we can have success as a Christian. God gives us the guidelines. God gives us the opportunity to know what to do, how to act. Now, we see here in verse 12, we're told to put on these various attributes. In verse 8 of Colossians 3, it says, "but now yourselves are to put off." put off anger and wrath and malice and all these things that we might feel toward those sandpaper people, those people requiring extra grace. So there's things we need to put on. There are things we need to take off. And you and I understand that there are certain things that we need to get jettisoned in our lives so we can do what God asks us to do. I'm not going to turn there, but in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." 1 John 4:11. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So, let's take a look at these five attributes here in verse 12. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. God's formula for dealing with difficult people. Number one, put on tender mercies. Tender mercies. If you like Strong's, I'll give you a bunch of these today. Strong's number 3628. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words defines tender mercies as the viscera, the inward parts, the seat of emotion, the heart, and lastly, a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion. The believer is to be clothed with mercy. We have been the recipients of God's grace. But we also need to be people who work with God's grace. And we are to be people who extend the grace that God has given us to others. Now, there's a key idea here. The key idea with this tender mercies is accept the reality of the person who's rubbing you raw. Accept who they are. And who are they? They are a person, or they are people in need of grace. Now, God may not call them in this age, but they are a people in need of grace nonetheless. Don't try to change them. You'll only get into a power struggle. You might cause them to be defensive. You might invite criticism. Things might get worse. Don't try to change them. Don't pretend the other person's negative traits don't exist. They exist. They've hurt you. They may have hurt you grievously. So we're not saying that we're poo-pooing what they've done. We're not excusing or condoning what they've done to you. But we also have to realize that we have to accept the fact that they are what they are. And just as we need grace, they need grace. I'm not going to turn there, but in your notes, if you want a complete set of notes, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23, 34. Christ says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we are to love as he loved. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Stephen is dying. Stephen preached a sermon and he was stoned and he's dying. And some of his last words are, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." So he realized that people were doing this. Christ realized that people who were doing this were people in need of grace. So if we want to be able to accept God's counsel for dealing with difficult people, we have to have a mindset where we say these people are in need of God's tender mercy. They're in need of God's grace. Number two, says in verse 12 of Colossians 3, put on tender mercies, put on kindness. As Strong's number 5544. The Complete Word Study Bible and Complete Word Study Dictionary define kindness as it's the grace which pervades the whole nature, mellowing all which would be harsh and austere. Mellowing. And again, this is tough to do. When you have white hot anger, when I have white hot anger, when we all have that, we want to lash out, we want to deal in kind, and yet we're Christians. We're Christians, we're the recipients of God's Holy Spirit, and we're told to be mellow. When we'd want to be harsh, when we'd want to be austere. This speaks of the being considerate. This speaks of being gracious through all situations, no matter what the circumstances may be. Because no matter what the circumstances are, we're Christians. No matter what the circumstances, we have God's Holy Spirit. The key idea here is understand the person. Understand them. Understand where they are coming from. It's so important when we're dealing with people who we just don't understand. I want to read you a quote from an article entitled Dealing with Difficult People. This was written by Mark Rosenberg. He wrote this on September 6, 2016, and I quote, "The first step in dealing with a difficult person is self-reflection, getting a handle on what is going on for you, but the second step in understanding what's going on for them. This involves the notion of perspective taking, stepping in the shoes of another person to try and understand how they see the world. This is one of the most important skills a manager can have. In his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey points out that before you can influence anyone, difficult or otherwise, you need to understand where they are coming from. So how do we go about gaining understanding of a difficult person's perspective? It's always useful to step back and think about what it is that makes somebody difficult. What's going on in their life? Why are they treating us that way? There's a reason. And maybe we can explore that with them. Number three, that we see here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, we've put on tender mercies, we put on kindness, now we put on humility. Humility, Strong's number 5012, finds expository dictionary of biblical words, talks about humility as being as having humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. Under tender mercies, we talked about accepting the reality of who the person is that needs grace. Here, under humility, we are looking, the key idea is understanding who we are. Who we are, that we are a person in need of grace. Humility leads to self-evaluation, an honest, courageous evaluation. Where are we coming from? What's happening in our lives? And you know, brethren, as I did the research and I went through any number of articles and the parts of books here and there, one of the things that really struck me is how many of these counselors were talking about, let's say I've been hurt and I've got a sandpaper person in my life. The question is, am I becoming a difficult person as a result of this? Am I becoming a difficult person? Am I feeling so stressed, so resentful, that I'm projecting this onto the person who's hurting me even more than I would think? Maybe I'm not just a victim. Maybe I'm also a person who's lashing out. Maybe I don't think I am, but maybe I am. So this is where humility comes in. We've got to take a good look at ourselves and see how things are going, where we're coming from. So point number three was be humble. Number four, we put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, then meekness. Meekness. Strong's 4240. From Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, and I quote, "In its use in Scripture, in which it has fuller, deeper significance than in non-scriptural Greek writings, it consists not in a person's outward behavior only, nor yet in his relations to his fellow man as little of mere his natural disposition. Rather, it is an inwrought grace of the soul." An inwrought grace of the soul. Expositor's Bible Commentary, one of the best you can have, defines meekness the opposite of arrogance and self-assertivism. It's especially the mark of a man who has a delicate consideration for the rights and feelings of others. So as we're looking at all these different things here, we're seeing where we need to be really converted people, really people who are close to our God. If we want to really help somebody, if we want to understand somebody who is a thorn under our saddle, so to speak, then we need God's Spirit directing our hearts and minds. Key idea here. The key idea here is focus on working the problem, not working the person. Work the problem, not the person. You might take the time to ask the person who is hurting you why they're doing that. I've not always been in the ministry. When I graduated from Ambassador College, I worked for a couple of years as a warehouse foreman. I worked for about 8 years in sales. But when I was a warehouse foreman, I had a counterpart, an office manager, who just seemed to hate my guts. And every day she found a reason, a little bit of a lady, to stand in front of me toe-to-toe and yell in my face, nose-to-nose. And that went on for a year and a half. And finally I asked her, okay, what am I doing that you hate me so much? And she says, Randy, I don't hate you. I said, so why the attitude and why all this? And she just walked away. A few weeks later, she quit. And when I walked into work and she wasn't there, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, somebody will go buy a cake someplace. But sometimes we just have to ask the person, what is the deal here? Number five. Tender mercies, number one. Kindness, two. Humility, three. Meekness, four. Long suffering. Strong's number 3115. Loanida's Greek English Lexicon defines long suffering as a state of emotional calm. A state of emotional calm in the face of provocation or misfortune, and without complaint or irritation. But I like that idea, a state of emotional calm. And how difficult is that when you've got somebody at your throat at all times? It is hard. Let's be honest about that. We're not talking about something that's easy to do. It is hard. The complete word study of the Bible says, defining long-suffering, self-restraint before proceeding to action. So a state of emotional calm and self-restraint before proceeding to action. And of course, with God's Holy Spirit, we have that available to us. We have that available. Now, we've seen here five different things. Is the formula complete? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Is it complete? The answer is no. Let's take a look at verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. So here now we had five items in the formula in verse 12. Now in verse 13 we see another part of the formula. We need to be forgiving of one another. Loanida's Greek English lexicon for forgiveness here, Strong's 5483, to forgive on the basis of one's gracious attitude toward an individual. Brethren, notice how many times grace is mentioned as we go through the subject. We, as Paul said in Romans 5:2, we stand in the grace of God. And if we're going to be people who can be truly forgiving as Christ was, and truly loving as Christ was, we'll have a gracious attitude. And the key idea here is to forgive as we have been forgiven. I read a book read some quote somewhere. I don't know where I got this, but I've known it for some time. But I thought it was an interesting quote. And here it is for you regarding forgiveness. Holding a grudge against someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Holding a grudge against someone is like you drinking the poison and expecting the other guy to die. When we don't forgive, we're just poisoning ourselves. We just have things backing up on our system that's only going to cause injury for us. You know, during the days of unleavened bread, we talk about getting out the leaven. But one of the things with being unforgiving or holding grudges is we have the leaven of negativity. We don't want to have the leaven of negativity in our lives. When we allow negativity in one area of our life, it starts to subtly bleed into other areas of our life. When we're in a negative state or holding a grudge against someone, we don't feel very good. We carry on with that energy, so we go about our day, and one thing leads to another, and we're in this downward spiral. Because we've got all these poisons, we've got this negativity. We don't need that. We don't want that. So in bearing with one another, we have to be able to be forgiving with one another. Are we done? We've gone through six items here. We've got to be done pretty quick because my time's getting short. I want to make sure Mr. Knutson has plenty of time here. Verse 14, we see a seventh and last item on our list. But above all these things, put on love. Put on love. So verse 12, we see tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, five things there. Verse 13, we see forgiving. Verse 14, put on love. The key idea there is loving those who would spitefully use you and abuse you. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. God tells us, Christ tells us to be able to even love our enemies. Love our enemies. Lastly, if we can do what we're looking at here with our sandpaper people, with the people who are the extra grace required bunch, if we can do what it says in verse 12, put on tender mercies, put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness, put on long-suffering. If we can forgive, as it says there in verse 13. If we can love, as it says there in verse 14. If we do these things, it may take a while, but then verse 15 comes into play. And then let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God. Now that doesn't mean we're talking about peace. Doesn't mean that all the issues go away. But it means that we're working on these things. It means we're closer to God as we work on these things. Tranquility doesn't come by mere human effort. It requires God's help, God's grace, God calming and troubling our troubled hearts. When it's talking here about let the peace of God rule, the original is talking about like an umpire. When all these things are happening in your hearts and mind, when people are rubbing you the wrong way and so forth, we need to allow God's word, God's spirit, God's grace be an umpire in our lives. If we can do that, then we'll be people that God says that he really respects us, loves us, and wants us to enter his kingdom. Because we're going to, in the world tomorrow, we're going to be working with all kinds of people who are sandpaper people. People who are the extra grace required people. But people like us. Because, brethren, let's be honest. You've got sandpaper people in your life, but it may well be that we may be sandpaper to other people.